Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Take a seat. Having a great time? Wow, I have seen many times and many seasons in this movement. This is our 33rd year of being in this movement. Jeff has been in here 40 years. I remember that I actually forbid my girlfriend to go to this movement for 7 years. So had I not done that, I might have been up here last night with Jeff 40 years. But it's pretty amazing that I actually forbid my girlfriend, Ruth, to come 7 years to this movement. And that's amazing, really. It really is. I never cease to be amazed. But I've seen many seasons in this movement over the last 33 years. But this is a good season we are in right now. This is phenomenal. This is really, these are good days. And so it's great to be here. It's great to be, we live in the UK at the moment, presently in Manchester. And presently we've still got a United Kingdom together. Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, but we don't quite know who the Prime Minister is, a bit like you don't quite know who the Prime Minister is, but I believe these are glorious days for the Church of Jesus Christ. I really believe that this is where we need leadership within us to bring direction to people which are floundering in direction. Just before I start, I know I do this every time I come here, but you have met many of your friends when you come here. You haven't seen them for the last 12 months. And I really feel that when I come up here as the international president, I need to be able to introduce you to a couple of our phenomenal heroes around the world. So I just want to show you a photograph because they couldn't come here because they're busy in their country, wherever they are. So I just want to introduce you to a few of them right now. And they are here. There they are. That is Fakhri and Mary Hannah, our incredible people from Egypt. Give him a hand right now, just like. But Fakhri, I don't think he doesn't go to sleep before 3 o'clock in the morning. He's up by 7:30. He's working like he's never worked before. He said he's 50-year-old. He's never seen Egypt so open to the gospel. They have been asked by Germany to provide 200 missionaries for Germany. It's because the number of, and so they, Fakhri's sending 40 from his church to Germany because the church in Germany has said we've just got so many people up here of Arabic people because millions of them gone up there. And so he is training 40 from our church, another 160 from other churches to go to Germany as missionaries. How about that? Fakhri was introduced last year in a conference in Egypt, 250 church leaders from the whole nation of Egypt, and was introduced as one of or as the most influential Christian leader in the nation today. He was honoured in Cairo by the mayor of Cairo. Cairo has as many people as the whole of Australia. He was honoured by the mayor of Cairo and three federal government ministers for his work in the nation. How about that? That's Fakhri Hannah. Next one. This is Nordine and Sharifa. I was over there a few months ago, and if there's anywhere I've travelled, I think I've counted up, I've done about 3,000 plane flights around the world in the last 30 years, and I would say that is the closest place I've ever seen to the Book of Acts Church happening today. It is just extraordinary, it's phenomenal, the number of Muslims coming to Christ. It is just off the chart. It's just, what can I say, these people are the real deal. They are seeing huge numbers right across their nation. I cannot speak highly enough of these people. They are just phenomenal. Next one. This is Boris and Yelena. I like that. I thought you'd like that. Born for More in Serbia. You don't know how to quite read that, but it's in Serbian. Born for More. They were both heroin addicts up until 7 years ago. She was in the Philharmonic Orchestra of Serbia, toured all of Europe. But when heroin addiction went through the country of Serbia, it touched all quarters of society. They become heroin addicts, got saved 7 years ago, and they lead our church in Serbia. How about that? When I was in Serbia, when Ruth and I were in Serbia a few months ago, I said, I just want to go to the park in Belgrade where all the people are heading into Europe because they were there meeting in the park. We went through the park, met a few people. Where you come from? Pakistan. Where you come from? Serbia. Syria. Where you come from? Iraq. In every group, there was an English person that was speaking. We looked into the eyes of one of these people that were coming up there, and I thought, my God, Ruth and I could hardly talk for the next couple of hours because looking into his eyes of what he had seen, where he'd come from in Syria, his eyes told it all. Next one. This is our people now. I've known these people for 12 years, but they have now become a part of INC. And the Bongani and Lindy Way in Pretoria, they've got a phenomenal church just packed with professional people. The government of Pretoria has given them about 3 acres of land 100 metres away from the university because they said they want a church right next to the university. How about that for favour? Bongani, next one, please. This is Victor and Julian Kings from Nigeria. They're doing amazing work, working in one of the most, you know, Nigeria is a massive country. I think 1 in 4 Africans are Nigerian. And they are doing amazing work with hundreds and hundreds of churches down there in Nigeria. We were there last year, had a guy with a machine gun in the front of my car with a bulletproof vest and the car behind me with a machine gun. And because they keep an eye on they don't get kidnapped. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And I thought, I haven't even got a gun. It's like these, but they are doing a phenomenal job in Nigeria. Amazing faith, pure-hearted people. Next one, please. This is, you know these people. I had to put him here because he's here. Michael and Romina, and they head up the work across South America. And they're here and doing an amazing job over there in South America. Thank you, Michael and Romina, your heroes. Next one, please. One more. India, this is Randeep and Anu. They head up 500,000 people now across North India. 500,000 people. When Randeep was saved 20 years ago, there was 0.01% in his state that was Christian. Today, that state has got 20% born again. It's gone from 0.01 to 20% in 20 years. He is an amazing guy, amazing couple. Next one, please. And oh, these are just his people here. These are his main people that oversee 500,000 people. I can't see which one it is, but I think it's which one because they're all a bit funny from here. But one of these guys was a madman in 1996. He was nudist going through villages getting food out of rubbish bins. Now he oversees 25,000 people. That's just one of them. Okay, where were you in 1996? Okay, next one, please. And these are Pakistan. This is Kiran and Imran Sadiq from Pakistan. They oversee work in Pakistan. Pakistan is in the news all the time. Lots of unrest. But these are amazing couple. George Miller's church has just bought a land there in to build a building in a brick factory over there. Next slide, please. And this is him preaching. You don't see that on the ABC or BBC News, do you, in Pakistan? But that is Imran preaching to a crowd of people in Pakistan. And these are some of his people. He's got other churches and things like that. But when you see Pakistan on the news, pray for our people in Pakistan. Put your hand out there and just, you know, you hear of all the things that are happening over there. Next one, please. The last one here is in Bangladesh. This is Christopher and Pratika and the little son David who was adopted. They woke up one morning and opened their door and there's a little child baby in a shoebox, and that's David that they adopted. And they've got 50,000 people in their churches that have all come from an Islamic past. And they've got 240 churches. And next slide, please. And you will see, and he was beaten up about a few months ago. They smashed his leg because he was doing some water baptisms and the Islamic people turned up, fundamentalists, and broke his kneecap. And he heads up our church with 240 churches and 50,000 people that he has led to the Lord. And that's where I saw them getting water baptized. And look at that water. I didn't want to even put my foot in that water. I thought it looks like there's piranhas or there's disease or whatever, and they're going in there to get water baptized. So that's our people in Bangladesh. And there's a lot of unrest in Bangladesh, as you've seen this last week. And when, you know, the people, there's a thing, big thing in Dhaka there. Christopher sends me emails all the time saying, please pray for Bangladesh. This is happening here. He sends me the most honorable emails, the right holy father, reverend. I have more titles that he sends me than anybody else. But Jeff Woodward tried to beat it one time. Okay, but anyway, I want to tell you just one more slide. Just and these are the things that we do in every country. There's four areas of sustainability in every country, nation we do. Every single country. We have conferences like this every year. You know, maybe 20 different national conferences happen around the world. We raise up next level senior leaders. We're always raising up next level leaders because as sure as anything, it comes to pass. And there's another generation of us. So we've got to raise up the next level senior leaders. We've got to raise up the church planters for church multiplication in every country we go to, and raise up emerging leaders and youth ministers. These are our 4 points to actually keep going and continue on a move of God. And we've got to raise up business ministries to fund the advancement, because there's never enough money just in the tithes, and you've got to be able to raise up business people to fund the advancement. And so they're the things that we do in every country. That's what we do in Australia. That's what we do in Britain. That's what they're doing in Egypt. That's what they're doing in India. That's what they're doing in Bangladesh. That's what they're doing in Africa, is all of those things to actually keep doing it, so that the move of God that has begun will just keep on going and going and going. But so these are the things that happen. You know, these are great days. It was about 30 years ago, I got a prophecy from somebody that I was going to go to beyond the borders of Australia. I remember this prophecy. I remember it very clearly. There's a moat around Australia, so I knew I had to leave and go through over the moat. I went down to the beach at Eti Bay in North Queensland. I went up to, I had a burning in my heart. I had a burning in my heart to go somewhere. I didn't quite know where it was. I didn't know it was going to be Britain. And I stood up to my knees in the water at Eti Bay. And I thought, my God, what's out there? Where are you going to take me to beyond the borders of Australia? If there's people here today in this conference, and not just, you know, you don't just want to go over there for a tourist or somewhere, but if you are really fair dinkum, I don't get to say that very much in Britain anymore, but if you are really fair dinkum about doing something for God in another nation, you know, not just to go on a little tourist trip somewhere, but if you really want to do something, just, you know, just come up to me and make yourself known. Now, you know, don't be frightened of me. I really want to know you, because I'd like to tell you, give you a few hip, dear little tips if I could. So what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I'd like to take a passage of scripture from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. And there he went into a cave. This is Elijah. And he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, this is God. He had just seen phenomenal things, amazing things had Elijah seen. He had seen the Mount Carmel, the prophets that they killed, the battle that took place, everything on Mount Carmel. And now he's running for his life in a cave, and the word comes, "What are you here for, Elijah? What are you doing here?" I remember years ago when I was a student at high school in Gander, and one of my friends got the idea to make gunpowder. So he went into the school laboratory in the middle of the lunch hour. My friends, about three or four of us there, and we were making gunpowder in the laboratory. And there was a voice behind us that said, "What are you doing here?" And it was the school principal. I really didn't want to be there at that moment. I really knew that this was real. We were just at the point of just actually about to put a match to it to see if it would go. And he said, "What are you doing here?" And, you know, but that was a school principal. I felt like, I thought, man, I hope mum and dad don't find out about this. I'm in big trouble. And we got in big trouble. But you know, that was only the principal. But if God says it to you, what are you doing here? You better know what you're doing here. Because we're only here for a few years. We're not long on this planet. We're only here for a little while. But it's amazing how one moment Elijah was there, right up there, and the next moment he was right down. And so he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. I've planted a lot of churches, seen a lot of miracles. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed the prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life." You know, what happened to Elijah? He says, "What are you doing here, hiding in a cave, but also in this place of fear and discouragement?" You know, that's where Elijah was. You know, this is an amazing conference. This is a phenomenal conference. But it's only as good as you let it get on the inside of you. It's only as good as what you let it get on the inside of you. Because otherwise it can be happening all around you. And then God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains. I mean, this is some wind. It's tearing into the mountains. I've been through a couple of cyclones when we were in North Queensland before we went to Britain, and cyclones, they are something else. I remember looking out, and there was like a 6-inch branch of a tree going horizontal down my street. It was just like, there was like garden sheds that were shaking, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 and they were just going like that. But the wind is tearing into the mountains, and they broke up the rocks in pieces. You ever seen rocks be broken in pieces by wind? And the strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped up his face in his mantle. And he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Friend, all these things were happening around him. The wind was blowing, that there was being tearing into the mountain. The rocks were being broken by the wind, and somehow it's just all happening around him. And he just hides there with his mantle around him and his face around him. Friend, all the things that, you know, God wanted to get that power that was all around happening inside of him. God wants to get all these things and happening in this conference into you. He doesn't. The wind was blowing, the rocks were breaking, it was tearing into the mountain. Friend, that dunamis power, God wants to get inside of you. Isn't that amazing? God wanted to get inside of Elijah. You know, these are amazing days. But he was there in discouragement. Sometimes we need to hear, what are we doing here? To make the most use of the time. I remember, I look at Acts 1:8 there, and it says, well, I wasn't there actually. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now he had spoken these things, and they all watched, and they're on Mount of Olives there, and he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who were also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? You think about what these guys have been through in the last 4 or 5 weeks. You think about it. They have seen Jesus crucified. They have seen him raised from the dead. They've seen him have a little barbecue on the Sea of Galilee. Now they're on the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus just disappears, and they're just all just there looking up, and wow, and then all of a sudden there's a little tap on their shoulder and says, hey. What are you standing here gazing up into heaven? You've got a job to do. Yeah, how long are you going to be looking up there in heaven? There's a job to do, man. Don't you remember what he just said? Friends, I tell you, that is our mandate, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then go into Jerusalem, into your nearby area, into Judea, your area, your state, into Samaria, maybe your nation, into the world, into the uttermost parts of the world. Friend, this is our time. This is our opportunity. What are we doing here? Friend, this is a privilege to be here. I went home last night to my unit there with Ruth. I said, I just feel so excited to be here in this day. I was so excited to be a part of this movement, this time. Sometimes I've got to pinch myself to think how many years I've been here, and I wouldn't miss one. I wouldn't miss it. I was over there in Prague many years ago with Ruth and our two daughters when I'm doing a mission trip. They were going to the Ukraine. We sent a whole bunch from our churches to the Ukraine on a mission trip. And so our daughters were on a holiday, on a mission trip. And so we said to Ruth, let's go on a holiday. And so we went on a holiday to Prague for a holiday. They call it the little Paris of Europe. And it was so we were over there having this holiday and thought our kids are safe. They're over in Ukraine and having this mission trip. And then we were there in Prague and we had this little thing on the afternoon. And we went to went on this boat ride and then we sat in the park. And it was just amazing. I thought this is going to be some romantic night. It was setting up. Our kids were away. We were there, did a little boat ride down the river, sitting in this park and put my arm around Ruth and just went, this is so nice. This is really, it's going to be a good night. And then all of a sudden, these kids started screaming and yelling and they started running to the park with syringes and they were shooting up in the park there and they were doing drugs all around us. I thought, it's not quite so romantic right now. And they're screaming like anything. And then then the police arrive and the dogs arrive and the dogs are chasing them and the dogs are sniffing everywhere. And I thought, this has gone from really romantic to absolute chaos. And so anyway, the kids run away, the dogs run away, the police leave. And I think, but it started to trouble me. I felt concerned. I felt my kids are in Ukraine on a mission, but these kids are someone else's kids. I started to feel for these parents of these kids and maybe one of them won't be alive tomorrow morning. I started to concern me. I no longer felt romantic. I was like, we started just trekking back to our unit and started feeling really disturbed by what I had seen and what I had heard. And friend, we need to be disturbed sometimes. We need to let things shock us sometimes. Fred Bartolo here somewhere. He took me to Malta one time when I arrived and to go preach in Malta. And he took me, said, Ashley, I want to take you down the street and show you what Malta does at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it shocked me. It would just shock me what I saw at 1 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes you need to get shocked. We're walking back to our unit and no longer while I was feeling romantic. We laid in bed. I kissed Ruth goodnight. And as I just rolled over, it's never happened to me ever before in my life or ever since. I turned over and I heard these words. I heard these words. I heard these words that what is he doing here? And I heard, now I'm not stupid enough to think that demons in Prague speak English. I'm not that. But God gave me the ears to hear in the spirit world what had just happened. That all of a sudden, this burden I felt, this burden for those young people was something that just took me out of being a tourist. It took me out of just enjoying the nice time there into real, because we can talk about intercession. But the intercession in my spirit at that moment must have awoken something in the realm of the spirit. And God allowed me for those few seconds to hear a conversation. What is he doing here? Friend, it's not a matter of just what the devil says, what is he doing here? But when God says, what are you doing here? Man, you better have an answer. We better have an answer. This is our time. These are our years. This year's a great year for me. I turned 60 and also turned a granddad in 3 weeks' time. I'm really, really happy about being a granddad in 3 weeks' time. This is a great year. But this is our time, friends, when we need to up it with the urgency of the gospel. To up it with the urgency of the times that we are living in. You know, I really was beside myself last night when John was preaching. I got so excited. And I thought, how could he do this to me? I have got written in big, bold letters on my iPad, ask, ask, ask. And then I've got here Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And he preaches a whole message on ask. But God's been speaking to me over and over and again. And I say movement of INC. Let us ask for our nation. Let us stand in the gap for our nation. Let's believe that God can move in this nation. There's probably a few dozen people here that remember a meeting many, many years ago when a certain lady stood on the Brisbane platform and she sung a song, "Lord, I ask for Australia. I call her by name." Can you remember that? Can you remember? Put up your hand if you can remember that. The few people there, most of them all got the grey hair by now. But friend, that call for Australia. Friend, let it be within us, your nation, Malaita, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, England, but that to our corp, not just one person for Australia, but together we have a vision for a nation. Together we have a vision for the world. Lord, ask. You know, so many times we're just asking for little things, but every now and then ask for big things. Ask for big things. There was a time when I was being up in Innisfail, when I was being trained by the Right Reverend Kevin Dales, my honour to have been under Kevin's ministry. And I was praying one day, I said, "Lord, God, give me souls. Lord," I was praying, "Lord, give me souls. Give me ones, twos, threes, hundreds, tens. Give them to me, Lord, towns, cities." And then I said, "Lord, give me nations." And when I said that, I felt so bad. I felt so bad because I felt like I'd got proud. I said, "Lord, please forgive me." This is true. I said, "Lord, please forgive me. I'm a proud man. I should only ask for ones and twos. Lord, I shouldn't ask for such big things. That is for big people. But Lord, I just ask for one and two. Please, do I feel that you have forgiven me?" Yes, I do feel. So I started praying again. "Lord, give me one, two, 10, 20, 100. I started praying passionately again, true story. And then I just blurted out of my mouth, "Lord, give me nation, give me nations." And I thought, ooh, it felt good. I think I'll say it again. And I never, ever, ever ask for forgiveness for having too big of a vision. You don't have to ask for forgiveness because you had too big a vision. Friend, this is our time. This is our hour. The Bible says ask. Ask. Let us ask. Who knows? You'll give it to us. The nations, the heathen, the Bible says, is our inheritance. Come on. This is our time. This is it. Ask of me and I will give you. Ask. The nations for our inheritance. The ends of the earth. Let's, you know, I remember the saying, a nation's wealth is not in its banks. We found that out. It's not in its mineral reserves. Australia found that out. But it's in the heart of its people. If we can harness the heart of the people, we can have the nation. A nation's wealth. Know where the nation's wealth is. It's in the heart of the people. I remember this saying once, there's getting no more towns and cities in Australia, but there's getting more of us. We're going to keep multiplying. I love those things. They were things that reverberated on the inside. Then when I look across the conference last night, it was echoing strong in my heart. Ask, ask. John Cameron kept preaching. Ask. God, give us thousands. Give us a million. Like Jeff Woodward and Mark Ramsey and I, many years ago, we made an agreement together in a conference somewhere in Brisbane here somewhere. Lord, give us a million. How about that? Let's ask. But you know something? Bible says in Joel 2, verse 23, I just want to say these two scriptures in passing because I believe this is where we're at. "Be glad then, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully and he'll cause the rain to come down for you." The former rain and the latter rain. I think we had former rain 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but that former rain finished. But I believe that we are in a day of latter rain. I believe the latter rain of this movement is going to be much greater than the former rain of this movement. It's going to be much greater. These are the days of the latter rain of our movement. Don't you want to be a part of it? "The threshing floors shall be full with wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, that chewing locust." Man. You ever found that those locusts have sometimes chewed away a few years of your life? I tell you what, these are good days for our movement. my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And then you shall know that I am in the midst of INC and I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Oh, friends, isn't that exciting? I remember when God called us, had the privilege of being called to go to Britain. And there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God in the month before we went. And we had to go around to all these relatives. And I said to these relatives, I was saying goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. We went to Ruth's auntie who had a secondhand furniture shop. And she said, oh, Ashley, isn't it going to be wonderful that God's going to be with Jesus will be with you when you go to England. I thought, Jesus with me, Jesus with me. And I said to Ruth, I've got to get out of this, get out. And I ran out of the shop and I fell over the bonnet of the car. And I thought, my God, that it just knowing that Jesus was with me, absolutely amazing. Went up to Innisfail on that Saturday to know that God's Spirit had moved in our movement in that week. And I thought I'd get up early that Sunday morning to go and pray in the church. And as I'm walking down the aisle of the church, I said, Jesus, would you please be here like you were this last week? And he just picked me up and threw me over the chairs. I was hanging upside down over the chairs. Sometimes it's a waste of time to pray. And I thought, Jesus, you're already here. I'm going home. And Jesus was there in an astounding way. And that was the time when we went to Britain. But I believe these are greater days than anything that we have ever seen before. I believe it, not to talk back of those were great, great days. But these days to see thousands, hundreds of thousands come to Christ in the valley of decision. And just lastly, I must read this because this is, I believe, the picture of where our movement is in Ezra 3:11. And they sang respectfully, praise the Lord, because they're now rebuilding the temple and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever towards INC. And then all of the people shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men like Kevin Dales, old men like Jeff Woodward and Mark Ramsey and Ashley Smear, old men had seen the first beginning of a move of God, the first temple. And they wept aloud with a voice and the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy. So the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the old people who remembered what God had done years ago. For the people shouted with a great shout and the sound was heard afar off. Friend, let's stand up everyone just for a moment. Friend, we have seen great moves of God in our midst, but these are the best days that we are in right now. They're best days because we have young people that have got such a fire in their belly to carry the move of God across our nations. It's time for it to ask of the Lord, and he will give to us the nations as our inheritance. Let's lift up our voice just for a moment and ask God for the nations. My God, we ask for the nations that would be inheritance. Lord, we want to ask and ask and ask and ask, Lord, for Australia, for Fiji, for Vanuatu, for Tonga, for Papua New Guinea, for Britain, for South America. My God, we ask, we ask, we ask, we ask, we ask, we ask, we ask. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Friends, I want to encourage you, don't stop asking. God bless you. Thank you very much.